From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're turning to John's Gospel chapter 1. In a little while we'll be reading the first 14 verses. And we're going to be thinking upon three views of the glory of the Father's only begotten Son. I don't think that there's a more appropriate and a more blessed study in the Scriptures for the people of God than the glory of the only begotten Son of God. So stay with us as we turn to John chapter 1. First, however, we commence by turning to Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 3. And we're dealing today, for our daily devotional Bible study, with packed up and ready to go. Here, the prophet is commanded, prepare the stuff for removing. The child of God must always be sensitive to direction from heaven. Ezekiel had a listening heart, a ready response to the promptings of the Lord. The Lord often brings about radical, even dramatic changes in the expected circumstances of the day. He may call us to remove ourselves in some way. As with Ezekiel, removal may be necessary for us because of corruptions around about us or because of rebelliousness within. We have things to learn from this message to the prophet. The true disciple of Christ must never allow himself to become so enamored of earthly things as to say, I love my surroundings so much, these things are so comfortable for me, just where I am, that I cannot consider the thought of serving the Lord elsewhere. If the Lord so directs, a change of abode may have to come. Heaven and earth is desirable, but not at the expense of getting out of the will of God. God must sometimes change our location. Our roots tend to run too deep down into the earth. We sometimes forget that here we have no continuing city. Putting the Lord Jesus Christ first is the Christian's chief desire in obeying Him. With some, the big steps they have taken have meant much struggling, many tears, and a lot of anguish of heart at the beginning of the way. Yet upon a full surrender of all we know to relinquish, what joy, what victory we have when the peace and the assurance of God's presence come flooding in. There are never any regrets about doing the Lord's will. His way is best. He never makes mistakes. The people of God are a people ready to go. Sooner or later, heavenly counsel will reach us. Prepare thee stuff for removing. For no one is here forever. The saved among us are set for a sign and a testimony to those who belong to the world. Before long we must take our flight hence to heaven. The ungodly move from this scene without the least sign of making preparation. For them to remove hence means the loss of everything, the loss of the only heaven they know, which is not much of a heaven, for it's this earth with all its corruption. To the Christian, there is just one condition of life. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We should always be packed up and ready to go. Our thought for the day comes from J.A. Alexander. If men are prepared to die, they're ready for anything. for the last couple of weeks here in Let the Bible Speak, I have been reminding you that we have on offer our calendar for 2007. In conjunction with one or two other Christian ministries, we have produced what we call the Words of Life calendar, featuring beautiful scenes from Northern Ireland, and that's the place, of course, from which Let the Bible Speak originally launched its worldwide radio ministry. Since 1973, we have been seeking to reach the millions of the world with the gospel of Christ by means of radio. And since our ministry started in Ireland, we thought that you would like to see some scenes from there. Everywhere I go, people speak about the beauties of the Emerald Isle. Well, here are some of them that you may behold. The Words of Life calendar will give you scripture for day by day. The calendar will also be good to put in the hands of those who are unsaved and let them see the way of life straight from the Word of God. And of course, you will find there the reminder of this ministry so that you will be able to remember us in prayer day by day throughout the year 2007. I hope that you've already asked for your free copy of the calendar for 2007. If you haven't, we invite you to write or call, and we'll be delighted to send it to you free of charge. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-5827. 1-866-877-LTBS. The calendar's yours for the asking. We look forward to hearing from you. As I announced at the top of the broadcast, this week we're going to be looking at the first 14 verses of the first chapter of John's Gospel. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. I would commend it to you as a passage that you should memorize, think upon, let the deep truth of it sink into your heart, because here is the very essence of the Christian revelation. John chapter 1, let's read together the first 14 verses of the chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I know the Lord will bless to your heart this reading of his inspired and infallible Word. I suppose we have all learned by now that the way a gift is packaged is very important. The purpose of packaging is to create a heightened interest in the contents, namely the gift itself. You can imagine how you would feel if you had procured a desperately needed gift at immense cost and packaged it beautifully, only to have the recipient drool over the gift wrap and hardly give the actual present a second glance. You know, in some ways, I think that's exactly what most people do with the story of God giving his Son to be the Savior of the world. This is a time of year for Christmas carols. I must confess, I love carols because I love the whole subject of the incarnation of the Son of God. But it seems to me that most carols seem to give more attention to the angels and to the shepherds than to the gift that the angels announced to the shepherds. Angels, shepherds, wise men, even the star in the heavens. These, in many ways, are the wrapping in which God presented the incarnation. They are beautiful parts of the story. They are historically accurate, and they are theologically important for a variety of reasons. But to concentrate on them to the exclusion of the central truth of Christ's birth is a major mistake. So this week I want us to focus attention on the incarnation itself. That's the great subject of John chapter 1 verses 1 through 14. No book in the Bible has a more majestic opening or a more glorious subject than John's Gospel. You'll know that we have four gospel accounts. Three of them give us something of the background of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark's gospel alone sets right in at the beginning of his ministry. Matthew traces the genealogy of Christ's humanity back through David to Abraham. Luke traces his genealogy all the way back to Adam. But John goes further back, and he commences with his deity and speaks of him in the beginning, using words both carefully and sparingly. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, he says, and the Word was, or was made, or became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice carefully, it's not that we beheld his glory as if he were the only begotten of the Father. No, no. We beheld his glory, such glory as belongs to the only begotten of the Father. The entire narrative in John 1:1-14 is in many ways an exposition of that statement. And so I want us this week to look at the statement, and I want us to consider, as I said at the top of the broadcast, three views of the glory of the Father's only begotten Son. We're going to start today with thinking about His glory in eternity. And here in this passage, we are told certain wonderful things about the eternal Word and the Father's only begotten Son. First of all, He is the Word. The Greek is the Logos. Now, that is a very important term, and it carries a tremendous cargo of meaning. He is the Logos. There is much needless speculation about the Word. In later centuries, after the Gospels were written, there arose various sects of the so-called Gnostic persuasion. The word Gnostic comes from the Greek word for knowledge, and these were people who prided themselves in having some esoteric or special knowledge, and they usually despised those who depended on the plain revelation of the Word of God. Now, these later Gnostics used the word Logos with their own peculiar and misconceived meanings. Many Christian writers have fallen into the trap of thinking that John was writing to correct the views of the Gnostics. There may be something to that in the Johannine epistles, but there's nothing in John's Gospel that would lead us to think that this is a correction of the wrong views of the Gnostics. Other writers think that here he is taking and using and expounding upon the philosophy of the Jewish writer Philo. But all this is unnecessary. You see, what John is bringing to us here is an original revelation. The Gnostics later corrupted that revelation, but this is the original revelation. Now, what is this word Logos, that's translated word? John Calvin translated it into the Latin sermo, which would say, in English, sermon, the word spoken. What does this word Logos really import? I think I can put it most simply by saying that the word, the Logos, is the personal self-expression of God. You'll find this very clearly expressed in other scriptures, where the word itself is not actually used, but where the same meaning is imparted. For example, take Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we read, "Who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Notice the wording, "He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image." And the word there is the word that gives us the English word character. It is a picture of an exact or precise and totally perfect stamp. He is the express image of God's person. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we have this statement, "He is the image of the invisible God." He is the image of the invisible God. This is the personal self-expression of God. To put that very simply and very bluntly, look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and here you have what God says about Himself in the most personal and perfect revelation that He can ever possibly give of Himself to any creature. Now, this touches on a realm that human wisdom can never penetrate. This reveals God as a self-conscious being. It reveals him as a self-communing being. It reveals him as one who enjoys the fullness of blessedness and glory within himself. You see, the picture of God in John chapter 1 is a Trinitarian picture. The notion of a Unitarian God is so totally unscriptural and anti-Christian as to be banished forever from the vocabulary and thought and theology of the Christian church. It is a monstrosity that should never find any being or any acceptance in any Christian church. It keeps on raising its head in a variety of ways, this notion of Unitarianism or anti-Trinitarianism. But this picture of the Father and the Eternal Word, the Eternal, notice this is speaking of the Eternal, not the temporal, not merely following the birth of Christ, but this is the Eternal self-expression of God. It says that God is a God who has self-communion in the Trinity of his sacred persons. As Romans 9 verse 5 says, he is God blessed forever. The Lord Jesus looked back on that time. If I could use the word time to describe his eternity. Looked back and he said, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This is a facet of the meaning of the word logos that baffles the greatest of created intellects, but that calls forth the worship of those who know and love God as their Father and Jesus Christ as their Savior. We will pursue this subject of the word a little further, God willing, in tomorrow's broadcast, but let us start off where John starts off. Here in the first chapter of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Logos is the eternal self-expression of God. He is, thank God, the eternal Word. He is the precise image of God the Father. He is the full expression of the Father's glory. What a joy, what a thrill, what a pleasure. Then it is to know him. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.